Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, again, we hope that you're doing well. So glad that you're here with us on this Labor Day weekend. And those of you that are listening on the podcast because you're at the beach, we're thinking about you. And glad that you're tuning in as well. Today's going to be a really good day. And as Dante said a moment ago, I hope you feel the excitement. I hope you sense the opportunity in front of us just 7 days from now. Like I've been telling you, the grand opening is not for us. It's for people outside the church. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, that we've got an enormous opportunity. And so I hope you feel the weight, just like I do, because this has been a 9-month journey for us, myself in particular, a season of prayer and fasting. And so we're just believing God for great things. And so begin to pray now of who you can bring with you this next Sunday. And then also, too, I hope you'll help me out and play along. I know not all will, but I'll have some friends that will help me out today. You can start the inviting process right now in service by pulling out your smartphone. Some of you will play along, others won't, and logging on to Facebook, okay? And so if you'd help me out with that right now, I see some people moving for their phones. If you're not playing along, I'm just going to not look at you and look at everybody else, okay? And so those of you that are playing along that have Facebook, okay, you're like a billion people do, so you're probably one of those. You can do two things right now to spread the word. Number one, you can check into Christ Covenant, okay? We've got a lot of people that do that each Sunday. That's the way that you let your 100 friends or your 4,099 friends know about what's going on, where you're at. You say something cool about our church. You know, I got the best pastor ever, whatever you want to say. And then check in to Christ Covenant. And the second thing you can do on our Facebook page, you will see a pinned post at the very top. We're going to be posting a lot of things about our grand opening, but if you can like it and share it, I'd really appreciate that. We've already got a lot of people liking it, a lot of people sharing it, and so help me out in that process, and I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I'm so excited for these next 7 days leading up to the grand opening. All right, if you got a copy of God's Word as you're wrapping that up, maybe you use the YouVersion Bible app or you're old school and you like ink on paper, then turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Really excited about the message today. We're going to start in verse 16 and read all the way through verse 24. And as some of you are turning there, let me kind of catch you up a little bit to my philosophy when it comes to translations, when it comes to God's Word at least. Translations are really important. They all have their benefits. They all have positives. They all have negatives, okay? And I normally preach out of the NIV, which is pretty much down the middle. But on special occasions like today, maybe you can see it behind me, I'm going to preach out of a paraphrase, okay? The message is not really a translation. It's a paraphrase of God's Word. And the reason why is because the parable, the story we're about to read, is very familiar. And so I really want you to get the heart behind what we're going to read today. And so we thank Eugene Peterson for this. But Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 16, if you don't have the message paraphrase, you better follow along on the screen if you're in the room. And here's what it says. Jesus followed up. Yes, for there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and he invited many. And when it was time for dinner, he sent out his servant to the invited guests. Notice they've already been invited. They've already RSVP'd, saying, "Come on in, the food's on the table." But then they began to all beg off one after another, making excuses. And Jesus gives us a few of them. The first said, "I bought a piece of property and I need to look it over. Send my regrets." Another said, "I just bought 5 pairs of oxen, and I really need to check them out. Send my regrets." And yet another said, "I just got married and need to get home to my wife." We used to have a word for that, but I can't say it right now. Keep moving on. The servant went back and told the master what had happened. And he was outraged. He was angry and told the servant, "Quickly, get out into the streets and the alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and all the homeless and all the wretched you can lay your hands on, and bring them here." The servant reported back. He did this. Master, I did what you commanded, and yet there's still room. The master said, okay, now go to the country roads. Whoever you find, I love this, drag them in. Like, whatever you got to do, get their butts in the house. I just said butts from the microphone in church. That's right. Drag them in, and then I love this line, and almost every translation, almost paraphrase, all the paraphrase, it keeps this line. I want my house full. Somebody say full. Come on, somebody say full. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those who originally RSVP'd is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner party. What's Jesus saying? They're not even going to get the scraps with the dogs. Like, not even that. And this beautiful passage, this powerful passage that's familiar to many of us, like myself, that grew up in church, God's going to use it today to teach us some things, okay? And so I hope you'll write down the title of my message. I'm really proud of this title. I stole it from somebody else, so I'm proud of this title. But jot this down. A seat at the table. That's the title of my message today, leading us up to what I believe will be one of the most pivotal Sundays in the history of Christ Covenant Church, our grand opening, Sunday, September the 8th, a seat at the table. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to give your word. I'm getting ready to give it my best. God, and I pray they'd be ready to receive your word today. Like we've been preaching and talking about a lot. Lord, it's not just what I can do. It's what they can do. It's 50-50. It's responsibility on both ends. Those in this room and those listening on the podcast. Like, what's the posture of our heart to receive your word? To maybe receive the preaching from a text we're very familiar with. What is the soil of our soul? And I know this, God, if I'll give it my best and if they give it their best, we'll walk away changed by your word. So may you set us up for next Sunday, God. May you reveal some things to us. May you teach us some things today. May we relearn some things today. And we thank you that you made sure, Jesus, that this parable, this story you told, got kept in the canon of Scripture. Because it's an important story for us to walk through together. So thank you for that. Lord, we love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love Jesus. And I love this story that he tells. Man, isn't Jesus just like so real and so honest and so in your face? In fact, can I tell you something? Like, if you're easily offended, you're not going to like Jesus too much. In fact, if you don't believe me, read the scripture, like read the gospels. Jesus said some really tough things. In fact, you'll find in the gospels an account where Jesus said something so hard that his own disciples couldn't handle it and they walked away. Like something about his body, his flesh and his blood. And it was too hard for them when they walked away. And so we live in this world, right? Politically correct. Everybody's got to be PC. Everything I say, it's offending someone. So I thought, let's just keep going, you know, let's just keep. But that's the world that we live in, you know? And so if you're easily offended, you should probably change because Jesus isn't changing. And he offended a lot of people. He's not some hippie Jesus that you grew up thinking about. Like, this guy told it like it is. And so Jesus shares this powerful story about a party, about an extravagant party. And I want you to put yourself in this situation, okay? Because this is not some ordinary party you throw for a five-year-old. Like, this is extravagant, okay? Like, big time. People RSVP'd to this party. I'm telling you, they didn't shop at Walmart for this party. It was Taste of Texas. Y'all know I like that place, y'all. That kind of a party. Filet mignon, king crab. I mean, they had a little section on the side for people who like kale, but they were barely invited in. I mean, it was a good. I'm preaching good already today. It was a good party. And so this party was just is remarkable. And it wasn't just the food. I can just picture it. Like, they probably had entertainment. I'm like pretty sure there was a comedian involved somehow. And there was karaoke. And it was just awesome. And this was an incredible party that Jesus is throwing. This person is throwing. It's a party you do not want to miss. Yet there were people who backed out last minute. People who said they were going, they should be going, and yet they had excuses. And they weren't good excuses. Do you remember the excuses that we just read moments ago? They were bad excuses. The first guy is like, hey, I would love to be there, but I bought some property. I bought some land. I haven't seen it yet, which who does that, by the way? But I bought the land, and I got to go check out my investment. Lame excuse. We got people in our church that you invest in property, you invest in real estate. Would you ever buy some without seeing it? No, right? You're going to do a soil test. I mean, you're going to do all these different things to make sure it's a wise investment. But this is the excuse the first guy gives. And not just that, but second of all, the reason why I think this one's lame is because the land isn't going anywhere. Like, you think about that? Like it's going to be there tomorrow. He already bought it, but this was his excuse. The second guy, his excuse is even worse because he steals the first guy's excuse. He's like, oh, I like that one. I'm going to use that one. He's like, I bought some Longhorns, you know, like incredible. And I bought them without seeing them. And so I got to go check them out. Like, he steals the first guy's excuse. But the third guy, you at least got to give him props for being original, y'all. You know what he says? He says, my wife won't let me go. That's what he says. He's like, my wife won't let me go. And in fact, I really shouldn't be here right now, honey. He's like, I'm just going to tell like it is. Like she's the boss. And I'm just thankful she married me. And so she won't let me go. And so all of these guys, they've got these excuses that are keeping them from this amazing party. And maybe you're thinking today, okay, I get that, Pastor, but what does that mean for me? Like, what does this represent for myself? And if you're thinking that, I'm glad you are, because I'm going to tell you. There is little doubt that this parable, this story, is all about two things. It's all about the church, aka God's house and people coming in. And also, number two, it's all about people committing themselves to Jesus. Like, there is little doubt that that's exactly what this is talking about. And so the whole idea is this, that Jesus, God, like, he's thrown this amazing party, this amazing banquet, and he's invited every single person to be a part of it, but many people turn down the invite. We have excuses. And today we're going to learn a couple of things from this story, and I think it's going to set us up for the grand opening. Here's the first thing. I hope you'll write this down. Number one, my excuses keep me from the table. I'm going to preach today. I hope you're ready to receive it. My excuses keep me from the table. What's the paraphrase say? It says this: they all began to beg off one after another, making excuses. My excuses keep me from the table. And you need to know this, friend. Every single person in the room today, every single person listening online right now, you all have a seat at the table. Well, Pastor, I'm an atheist. You've got a seat at God's table. Well, Pastor, I'm Buddhist. You've got a seat at God's table. Pastor, I used to believe, but I've fallen away, and it was hard to even come here today. Somebody brought me, somebody bribed me. Can I tell you, friend, you have a seat at God's table. You do. No one is excluded from a seat at the table. I got to tell you, there is a place setting with your name on it. Somewhere, somehow, somebody folded the napkin into some kind of woodland creature, and it's right there. You got 18 forks and 18 knives and 18 spoons. You don't know what to use. I'm just telling you, it's an incredible party, and you are invited. But we find out that even though all of that's true, my excuses keep me from the table, that there's actually going to be an empty seat where I should be seated in, because excuses keep us from the table. And I'm going to show you some quickly. They're going to be on a slide if you're here in the room, and you may not even have time to write them down. But what I've been praying is this, is that one of these excuses, if it's yours, if it's an excuse you've been using to not come to the table, that the Holy Spirit would highlight it in your heart and mind. How many of y'all know the Holy Spirit does a way better job of that than I do? So that's been my prayer today, because I'm going to give them to you quickly. But here's some excuses that I've seen keep people from the table. Here's the first one, wrong priorities. Wrong priorities. Anything of equal value to God and God's house, or anything of greater value to us than God and God's house. Here's another one I've seen so many times, bad relationships. People that are pulling you away from Jesus and his house instead of propelling you towards Jesus and his house. Here's another one. This is big. Holy Spirit, you highlight whatever you need to highlight for every individual. A desire for sin more than God. Desire for sin more than God. Here's another one. A lack of obedience. I know I should be in the house. I know I should be about my Father's business. I know I should be committed to Jesus. It shouldn't just be an afterthought for me, but it's a lack of obedience. We know better. Here's another one, just two more. Trust in earthly things. I'm trusted in my job. I'm trusted in my marriage. I'm trusted in my kids and their activities. I'm trusted in money. I'm trusted in my 401k. I'm trusted in this relationship and that relationship. We're trusting in earthly things. And here's the last one I wrote down. There's no sense of urgency. I'll get there one day. I'm speaking to somebody's soul today. I'll get there one day. I'll surrender to God one day. I'll get serious about God one day. There's no sense of urgency. And friend, these are all excuses that keep you and me from the table. Or excuses that keep us from the table. And can we just get real honest for a second? Because I believe that most of us want a seat at the table. I believe that about you today. That we want a seat at the table. Like, do you remember growing up and you were at the kids' table and you couldn't wait till you graduated to that adult table? Y'all remember that? Like growing up, like it's cool to be at the kids' table when you're 5, but not when you're 50, right? Like at some point you should graduate up. Like we want a seat at the table. We want to belong. We want to feel important. We want to be invited, and we are. So why don't we go? The invitation is there. Why don't we go? Two reasons, I believe. I hope you'll write these down. Number one is this. We intend to go sometime. Like I said a moment ago, there's no sense of urgency. Here's what I hear all the time. When I get married, we'll go. When we have kids, I hear that all the time. That's when we'll go. Next week, we'll go. I only slept 7 hours instead of 8 hours, so I can't go this week. I'll go next week. I had a busy week at school, so I'll take off a Sunday. Did you know you could actually take off a Monday instead of a Sunday? Just crazy thought, I know. But we intend on going sometime. Here's the second one. I hope you'll write this down, too. We undervalue the offer. It's big. We undervalue the offer. Life and earthly things, we overvalue and we undervalue the offer that Jesus is sliding across the table. But say it to you this way, we have good intentions and a lot of bad excuses. We've got good intentions and lots of excuses. And let me tell it to you this way, and this is a real hard statement, but I love you too much not to just be straight with you here. The road to hell is paved with good intentions and bad excuses. I'm going to say it again. It's a hard statement, but I love you too much, friend. The road to hell is paved with good intentions and bad excuses. I'll get serious about this Jesus thing later on. I'll be about my Father's business later on. And we use all of these excuses and all these things one day, one day, one day. I'm telling you, God has a better way. There were all these people in the story, man, and they missed out on something of greater value for something of lesser value. Don't make that mistake. You have a seat at the table. Here's the second thing God wants to teach us. Number two, my willingness brings others to the table. This is what we're going to highlight here today. My willingness brings others to the table. Some of you, you've memorized a different translation of Luke chapter 14, and you'll know this, that different translations, they actually use this verbiage to compel when talking about bringing people into God's house. It says to compel them. The Message, I like how it put it. It's like you just drag them in, like whatever you got to do. But to compel them to come in, to do whatever you've got to do. Let's put it in our context, to have bounce houses and to have food trucks and to do crazy things and surprising things so you can compel them to get them to God's house so they can hear about Jesus. Where do you get that idea from, Pastor? From the Bible? to compel them to come in. Jesus didn't say there was a man who held a Bible study and then you need to bring everybody into that. Bible studies are great, but that's really not so compelling for a non-believer. I've got no problem, zero problem with somebody coming in for a different reason and leaving having been impacted by Jesus Christ. I have zero problem with that. And if you do, maybe you should research this text a little bit more, because God doesn't have a problem with it either. He says, compel them, drag them, bribe them, get them into the house. My willingness brings others to the table. And I've just got a prophetic word for Christ Covenant Church. It is time for us to extend our reach with the gospel. Like, it is time for us to step out. God's doing a good work, but he ain't done yet. It's time to move forward. And if you're not passionate about people coming home to know Jesus, get passionate about it, because that's what your Father is all about. Souls coming home to him. The prodigal son, the prodigal daughter coming back. What did Jesus say? You go get the misfits. Love that. Anybody else a misfit like me? A few of us. Okay, I'm glad we're hanging out with all the righteous saints in the room today. I'm a misfit, okay? I got some skeletons in my closet. I got some stuff that God saved me from. And so I'm passionate about other people who are far from the Lord. Well, this is free. This is not in my notes. You either believe Jesus is the hope of the world or you don't. And why would you ever keep the hope of the world to yourself? Why would you ever not tell your neighbor? Why would you, Holy Spirit's leading me right now. Why would you never not tell your friend and your family? You've asked them 8 times and they said no every single time. Why not one more time, friend? Maybe you got to pray and fast for that person. The Bible says only some things come through prayer and fasting. You should have a heart for those that don't know the Lord. And it's my willingness that brings others to the table. Can I remind some people today that a church is not a gym or a movie theater? In fact, you should write that down. Not a gym, not a movie theater. Put a question mark there, because I know you're confused right now. But it is not a gym and it is not a movie theater. Those of us, like, you know, myself, I go to the gym, you know, like once a year. And when I get there, like I got specific things that I like, you know? Like I want to make sure when I go to the gym or the movie theater, like either one, I want to make sure that no one's in my parking spot. Like, I will never work out walking from my car to the gym, okay? I do not believe in pre-workouts, y'all. I will only work out inside the gym. Anybody else with me? Like, I gotta have front row before I go work out. And not just that, but when I get in the gym, nobody better be working out on my machine. Like my name's not on it, but it's like they know once a year I'm in here on that machine. Like, nobody, like, the gym can be crowded anytime I'm not there. But when I'm there, it better be empty. When I go to the movie theater, I don't want anybody beside me. Anybody else like that? Like, I need both cup holders, y'all. Come on, Dante. You know what I'm saying? I need both cup holders. Both. Like, I need both. And not just that, I don't want anybody sitting behind me. I don't need any little, like, punk 10-year-old kicking me in the back of my seat. And I want an empty seat in front of me so I can put my feet up. My wife will tell you, man, ain't nothing that ticks me off more than a crowded movie theater or a crowded gym. Like I need to get saved all over again after I encounter one of those friends. I'm just telling you. But can I remind you of something today? A church is not a gym, and a church is not a movie theater. Why would we ever complain about God's house being full? Well, do they know that's my seat? Well, maybe they know if you came more than twice a year. Ooh, sorry. May nobody be in my parking spot, man. Nobody. Nobody. Like, you ever been to those churches before? This isn't in my notes either, man. We're just having fun today. You ever been to those churches before where they got a parking spot for the pastor? Like, don't ever do that for me. Like, I need to park far away. Like, for real. Like, we want people that are guests parking close. Like, that's what we need. We are not a gym. We are not a movie theater. Like, you don't need 18 empty seats, like, in your section. Like, God wants his house full. Full. He wants it full. He made sure a whole story is in the Bible so we would make sure that we got this point. I want my house full. And Jesus says that your willingness and my willingness will get the house full. The table has been spread. I'm telling you, the table settings are there. There's a seat for everybody. But some servants got to go out and bring people in. I'm not preaching anything but what we just read in Luke chapter 14. It is crystal clear in this text. Read it in the Greek, the original language. Read every Bible commentary you can get your hands on. It is clear that God wants his house full. Wants it full. He's not looking for skilled people. He's not looking for talented people, because I would not be the pastor of this church if that was the case. He's looking for somebody who is willing. A servant who will go out and come back. A servant who's not satisfied with, oh, I did this last year or 10 years ago when I was 10 years younger. I was really doing this and bringing people in. I'm just going to coast now. No, a servant who is willing to make sure they never come to the house alone. That I'm making sure you're coming with me. I love the way one pastor puts it. He says this, we will pray like it depends on God and we will work like it depends on us. I love that. What did we just do for 21 days? We prayed. What did we do early in the morning? Not early for some of y'all, but early for me, 6 a.m. What did we do? We prayed on over every single seat here. We opened up the rooms to our elementary, our preschool, our nursery, and we prayed. We laid hands. I'm telling you, we will pray the way, but we will also work. We will pray and believe, but we will also do something about it. And if this is your home church, you should be stirred up right now that there's an opportunity in front of you. We've made it easy for you to bring someone to the house. My willingness brings others to the table. Brings others to the table. I want to close with this, and Tony's going to help me at the end here by playing behind me. But I want to close with a true story. In fact, I read it years and years ago, and I've never forgotten it, friend, and I think God's going to use it in your life, too. It's a story that not a lot of people know. In fact, I'd be surprised if anybody here knew this story. It's not talked about a lot, but it's true. It's a story of a young Gandhi years and years ago, and this is how I feel the Lord has led us to finish the service today. In fact, I'll tell you this. I planned on sharing this illustration, this story, last week. I had not written the message today just yet. But as I was preaching last week, I knew that it's for time's sake and where God was taking us, it wasn't for last week. And then in my prep this last Monday, I knew the Holy Spirit was saying it's for the service today. So I hope you'll receive this. God will speak to you through it. But the story is many years ago, and a young Gandhi was attending a university in London. And during his time at this university in London, he had really began to contemplate, to think on joining Christianity. A lot of people don't know this. While he's at the university there in London, he was strongly considering becoming a Christ follower, like going all in with Jesus. And shortly after he graduated from that university, he got a job in East Africa. And because of the job and because of the commute and all of that and him moving there, because of all of that, he had to stay with the family for 7 months. And Gandhi, he found out that the family he was staying with for 7 months, they were evangelical Christians. And not just that, but they attended an evangelical Christian church. And so Gandhi didn't tell anybody at the time, including that family he was going to live with for 7 months, more than half a year. He didn't tell anybody that in those 7 months, he was going to decide if he was going to follow Jesus or not. Didn't tell the family, didn't tell anybody. He decided, like, this is going to be my moment. Not what I read about and not what someone tells me about, but how this family lives. I'm going to make a decision for Christ or not. And sadly, days go by and weeks go by and months go by. And a young Gandhi, he doesn't see a very good life for Christ. He sees a family that just shows up to church every once in a while. He's a family that's living completely different in the beliefs that they profess. He sees a family that's lethargic when it comes to the things of God, that anytime they have to make sacrifices for God and God's house, they complain, they whine, they grumble. And for 7 months, he sees something that he does not want to be a part of. The problem was not with Jesus. The problem was with his followers. And after the 7 months were up, Gandhi came to this conclusion. This is a direct quote. He said this: Christianity is not the one true supernatural religion I had hoped to find. A good religion, but just one more of the many religions in the world. And as I share this story with you, friend, I'm not trying to pick on this family, but I'm just saying it like it is. This family missed their moment. They missed their purpose. Do you know there's a good chance that the very reason why they were placed on this earth was for those 7 months? Can you imagine what good he could have done in Jesus' name if he would have surrendered his life to Jesus? The problem wasn't with Jesus. The problem was with his followers. Can I tell you something? You are a walking, talking, breathing billboard for Jesus, friend. Whether you follow Jesus or you just come to the church, it's not fair, but it's reality. So everything that you say, everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you're about, it's either honoring God and building his God's kingdom, or it's dishonoring God and building your own kingdom. Everything. And I got to tell you, the problem with Christianity is not Christ. It's us. That we are living a life that shouts loudly against what we profess to believe. That we are living the kind of life where we get so caught up. Again, I'm not picking on this family. I'm just saying it like it is. There was no missional living. There was no, hey, let's huddle up and pray for this guy. We don't know this guy. He seems sharp, though. He's got a good heart, a good attitude. We got 7 months. Let's make sure that we share the gospel and we show the gospel. Like, there was no missional living. There was no purpose. They were just doing their church thing and then going back home. The life that you live, it shouts loud of who God is. So my question for you is this: what's your life saying about Jesus? What's your life saying about Jesus? Are you willing? Are you willing? Let's pray. What's my life say about Jesus? Am I living on mission? Am I building God's kingdom? Or am I building my own? Am I about my Father's business? Do I care about what he cares for? Close your eyes with me. Bow your heads all across this house. Jesus, I pray right now that you give us a great burden for souls. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you put names and faces on our heart and mind, myself included, my family included. Give us names, give us faces of people that we can reach out to, that we go out into the street, that we go out into the country, into the city, that we wouldn't just bring in those that have RSVP'd, but God, we bring in the misfits. We bring in the downcast. We bring in those that the world would say is unlovely, that we would love the unlovely. That we'd bring in the doubters. That we bring in all who do not know you. Because there's a place setting with their name on it. There's a spot at the king's table. And Jesus, we know now you are ready to receive anyone who would come unto you. But somebody's got to go, and somebody's got to bring And somebody's got to get a little loud and a little crazy. And sometimes we got to drag them in. Sometimes we got to compel them to get to the house. But somebody's got to do what it takes to get your house full. Forgive us for not going out like we should. For living a life on purpose, on mission. Sharing our faith with others. May we be that church. We've got 7 days. 7 days. God, I thank you that there's going to be a lot of people here in this room. They're going to grab those Bring Invitations on their way out, and they're going to go out and they're going to leave a great tip and put down one of those cards. They're going to give a card to a friend also with some brownies. They're going to take it to the office there, and they're going to buy donuts and coffee for everybody, and they're going to hand out these cards. I thank you for a people that are going to go out on mission these next 7 days. May your blessing, your anointing be upon us. And lastly, keep those eyes bowed. If there's anyone here today that you look at your life and you've been encouraged by the word, and the thing that's encouraged you is that there's a seat for you at the table. It's a seat for you. Maybe you thought before you came in today that they're just gonna judge me and they don't really know what's going on, and if they only knew, they wouldn't want me here. And we lie to ourselves, we believe the lies of the enemy, but I'm telling you, friend, right now, today, there is a seat at the table. The invitation has been sent out. There's a place setting with your name on it. Jesus is ready to receive you, but you've gotta come to him. He's done all the work. He sacrificed his very life on the cross, and the invitation filled with grace and mercy is extended to you right now. And all you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is come home to him. He'll clean you up. You don't worry about that. He'll clean you up. So please, no one looking but myself, but if that's you here today, you're far from God, but you want to come home to him. You don't have to wait till next week and the gospel message. Right now, this is your moment where you can surrender your life to Jesus. And if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. But first, I need to see who I'm praying with. Would you raise your hand? Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God is so good. Thank you so much. Anyone else? You can put it down once it's up. Thank you so much. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Anyone else? Respond online as well. God sees you in that car. He sees you at the gym with your earbuds in. He knows you. He cares about you. He sees you at that coffee shop. He loves you. He knows you. He cares about you. Thank you, God, for the many that just responded. Here's what we're going to do. Keep those eyes closed. We're almost done. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer of surrender, a prayer of commitment to Jesus. It's not a fancy prayer, not a magical prayer, but it's a powerful one. It's a prayer where you put your belief, your trust, your everything in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for you. So the many that raised their hand a moment ago, and also all the Jesus followers as support, say this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love and for your sacrifice. Today, I put my trust, my faith, my belief in you and you alone. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I make you the Lord of my life. Jesus, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Can somebody give God some praise?
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at ChristCove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website, or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.